of the Bible. This chapter has served as the text of many inspiring sermons. No doubt you've heard many sermons preached from Hebrews chapter 11. There are so many characters that are mentioned in that beautiful chapter. But yet all the characters who had great faith in God are not mentioned in that chapter, because there would not have been room to have put all of their names in chapter 11. The heroes of faith should inspire us. It should lift us up in hope and encourage. Because this is the hall of faith. You've heard about prominent people, their names and their pictures got in the hall of fame. Well, this is the hall of faith. And I feel there's a part of that chapter, in fact, a little portion of Scripture that a lot of us, we have never really looked at it as we should have. The Scripture said that we are encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. When you walk into a room and you see pictures and names of people that has become famous, people that has really made the grade, when you look at that picture and read their life story, that should encourage you that you can make the grade also. And that's why we have this great cloud of witnesses around us. And when we read their life story, when we read of their faith, how they did overcome by faith in God, that should encourage us also that we too can be overcomers for Jesus Christ. Encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. This will encourage the Christian when they see the success of these men and women. Now, I want to tell you that a lot of times that it was not easy. A lot of these people suffered opposition, but yet they conquered enemies. Hallelujah. You know, that's the beautiful part about faith. It puts something in you that will cause you to overcome. The Scripture said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now somebody will shout on Sunday night and the rest of the church will go home and say, well, that person has really got the victory. Shouting does not always denote victory. Here is your victory. Victory is that overcoming faith that you have in God. That when you overcome, that's the victory. Shouting is just the effect of victory and the effects of feeling good. I've seen people that did not even believe what we believe, and they were not even living in 1,000 miles of God or His standard of holiness. I've seen them shout because they felt good. But that is not altogether victory. You cannot determine victory by the shout of anybody. But you can determine a person's victory by how they overcome the world. Pretty solid on that statement, but if you'll study carefully, you'll find that in the Bible. These men, they overcame. They suffered opposition, but yet they conquered enemies. Faith is so important until we cannot please God without it. Through faith, the elders obtained a good report. Destroy faith and you have destroyed that connecting line between God and humanity. We believe in the invisible. We believe in the unseen. We've never seen God. We've never been to heaven. But yet by faith, we understand that these things are possible. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. Now let me take a little time to define faith. Now really, what is faith? What is the definition of faith? He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And let me turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And let me read a portion of that scripture that we've already read. And let us get this in our minds. Exactly what we're talking about. When you talk about faith. Now, faith is a great thing. Faith is something that we must have. We cannot please God without it. And we cannot come to God without faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtained a good report. By the word substance, now faith is the substance. There's a little marking in my Bible, and if I look down the center column, it tells me what the word substance means. It means ground or confidence. Now, faith is the ground or the confidence of things hoped for. It's the confidence. It's the foundation. Now, let's find out really what faith is. Faith is the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the ground or the foundation of things hoped for. Number two, it's a conviction of things not seen. Faith is the springboard. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the assurance that God will fulfill His promises. Faith will take us to the spiritual realm of the eternal and the divine. Now that's what faith is. It's the foundation. We realize that God is able to fulfill His promises. If you could realize today that God has never lied and He never will lie. Every promise that God has ever made, He is well able to back up His guarantee. He's never failed yet and He never will. Now you note these things carefully. If we can get in our minds what faith really is. It's the assurance. It's the springboard. It's the conviction, it's the ground, it's the confidence that we have in God. Faith is not governed by surroundings or circumstances of the mortal man. If you look at your surroundings and your circumstances, a lot of times you'd lose what faith you did have in God. Now let me repeat myself. Faith is not governed by the surroundings that we find ourselves living in. Now if you would let the devil, he'd snuff out every ounce of faith you have in your heart today. But faith is not governed by surroundings or circumstances. I asked a man some time ago, I said, how is everything? Well, he said, considering the circumstances I'm in, I'm doing all right. I said, we're not living under circumstances. We're living by faith. If your circumstances are good, thank God for that. If your surroundings are good, thank God for that. But if your circumstances and your surroundings are not good, remember that they do not govern your faith in God. Hallelujah! Faith is greater than our surroundings. Faith is greater than our circumstances. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Heroes of faith were unmoved by their surroundings and the events that transpired. Nothing moved Daniel. Nothing moved the three Hebrew children. Hallelujah. Persecution did not move the New Testament church. If we could get all of this in our minds, and then sometimes we complain about having a hard time. And we've had it so easy all of these years. We haven't had no hard time. Somebody thinks because that they have to work hard, or maybe they don't have exactly what they want in this life, that they're having a hard time, and they say that God doesn't love them anymore, and they're going to give up, and they're going to quit because they cannot attain to the goal that they would like to have. Let me tell you, God is greater than our surroundings. He's greater than our circumstances. He's greater than a job. He's greater than a house. He's greater than a car. He's greater than health. He's greater than sickness. He's greater than death. Whatever state you find yourself in, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now notice what the Bible said about faith. With all of the disappointments, the persecutions, and all the things that they had, the Bible said they wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. stop the mouths of lions. That's faith. And the Bible said they subdued kingdoms. Oh, it's so hard to live right. I've had so many to tell me when I get to the place where I think I can live up to the teaching of the church, I'll come in. No man can live up to the teaching of the church without faith in God and a holy life. Amen? That's the secret. They wrought righteousness by faith, subdued kingdoms, obtained promises. Now, what is faith? Another step. Faith is a strong spiritual conviction of things not seen by the natural eye. We don't walk by sight. If you can walk by sight, you don't need faith. Faith is walking toward the invisible without seeing the invisible by the naked eye. Faith is seeking a city whose builder and maker is God, though we've never seen the city, never seen anybody that's ever been there. We're not walking by sight, we're walking by faith. I don't need faith to see that door because I can see that. That's sight. But when I think about God and the spiritual things that belong to God, I have a strong conviction in my heart. Though I do not see, yet I believe. I do not walk by sight, I walk by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If I'd ask all of you to stand and testify of something that God has done for you and it came by faith, every one of you could stand up and tell something of what God has done for you. I remember one time I went to California to preach their camp meeting several years ago. And where I stayed was a big hotel, and out in front they had a fence up about this high. It was made out of rock and cement, and it had a little ledge about that wide. So I'd get up on that ledge and I'd walking up and down. And one day, I decided to jump off. And I jumped off. Well, I went directly from California to preach the camp meeting in Wisconsin, I believe. Yes, Wisconsin. And when I got there, they had me a nice room in a motel. And something happened to my left foot. I couldn't walk. And they had a campground. They had rented it from the Church of God people, and it was in a place that you couldn't park up close to the place. You had to walk, and it was rough ground and walking. And they had to help me for a night or two, and about the third night, I couldn't even go to church. And when I'd want a drink of water, I'd have to ease out of bed and get on my knees and crawl over to the place where I could get me a drink of water. And I called the superintendent. I said, come down here. I said, I'm not doing you any good. And I said, if you want me to leave, I said, I'll get out of here because I'm not doing you any good. I can't even come to church. Oh, no, he said, stick with it. Said, the Lord will bless you. And he said, now, I have a doctor right down the road here if you'd like to go. And I told him about jumping off that wall. He said, probably you broke a bone in your foot. So we went down, and the doctor x-rayed, said, there's not a thing in the world. Said, there's no broke bones. He said, in the army, said that was very common. They would have a bone fracture in marching. But he said, there's nothing wrong with you like that. So the fourth night, I called him. I said, you come and get me and send two men. I said, I'm going to that tabernacle tonight. I said, if I die, I'm going. They came, and I put my arms around their necks, and they got me out to the car, and they got me in. And so I hobbled in that tabernacle that night. And I said, I'm going to preach if somebody has to hold me up. I said, by faith in God, I'm going to preach if somebody has to hold me up. You know, we let the devil defeat us a lot of times. We give over to our human feelings when really we ought to push our human feelings aside and put our faith in God. And they helped me up to the pulpit to preach that night. And the power of the Lord started in the top of my head. It went down through my body, and I felt it when it reached my feet. Now, you see, I'm not telling you something that somebody dreamed or somebody told you. I'm telling you what happened to me. And I didn't read this out of a storybook. I didn't get it out of a comic book. This was a real, honest-to-God experience that I had. When I stepped up to that pulpit with my Bible, the power of God went all over me. And what about my foot? It seemed like that I could just reach down and just lay this leg up over this shoulder. Now, I know I couldn't do that, but that's the way I felt. Preached? I ain't never preached like that in a long time. That completely left me. When just a few hours before, I had to get on my knees to crawl to get a drink of water. And all of a sudden, it hit me. The next night I preached, and I came back home, I felt as good as I ever felt in my life. And I've never had that problem in my left foot since. I have been divinely healed. And you have too. Now, all of this comes about by faith. By faith. But sometimes we give over to our circumstances and our surroundings. But faith is a strong spiritual conviction of things not seen by the natural eye. Faith is a foundation. Faith is a confidence. Faith is a springboard that will put you out there into a spiritual realm where you have never been before. That's faith. That's faith. It'll work wonders in our lives. Just simple, down-to-earth faith in the invisible. Now, this may seem a strange thing to say about faith. You know, everybody you see, oh, I've got faith. Oh, yes, I've got faith. Well, in fact, everybody has a measure of faith. But they seem to believe that just so you got faith, it makes no difference what you believe. I'm going to explode that little balloon right now. Faith as a set of beliefs. I want you to listen to me carefully. The Word of God contains teaching concerning God, man, sin, holiness, salvation, worship. It contains teaching of it. Every area of knowledge necessary for salvation. Somebody says, I have faith, so it makes no difference what I believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. I said, that's not what the Bible teaches. You mean to tell me that if I have belief and if I have faith in a God that's made out of wood, or stone, or steel, that I can walk up to that God, and by faith in that God, I can get my healing, I can get my needs met, and then I give the praise and the glory to an image? You see, the Bible governs our belief. Now, to prove that, John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. Now, what kind of belief does God accept? Scriptural belief. But that's the trend of the day. Just so you believe. Believe what? Anything. That's not Scripture. Amen. Another strong text. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. When Jesus commissioned the apostles to go preach. Now what did he say? We've quoted this so many times, but sometimes we run over a lot of Scriptures trying to select the point and we really miss the meaning. Now here's what he said. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what was the subject? Preaching the gospel. He that believeth the gospel. Didn't say he that believeth anything, just so he's a believer. He that believeth the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. You just can't believe anything at random. You've got to believe as the Scripture has said. That's the only belief that God accepts, is a belief that is based upon the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Well, somebody said, I don't feel like that. I don't care what you don't feel like. We don't go by feelings. We go by the inspired, infallible Word of God. Everything you want to know about salvation, holiness, worship, your walk with God, you'll find it all written down in this book that I hold in my hand. Now, if I tell you that I have faith in God and I don't believe what the Bible said, you're going to doubt my faith. And I'm going to doubt your faith. Amen. The teaching of the Bible and faith will correspond. They run parallel. They don't contradict each other. So faith is a belief in God. Faith as a set of beliefs. It's very important of what we believe. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I want to read this verse right here. We have quoted Romans chapter 10 so many times, but here is some nuggets of truth that's tucked away in these verses that I want to read from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Now, I want you to notice very carefully. We'll read from this 10th chapter, and here is what the Bible said. But let me begin at verse 13, and then we will come down to verse 17. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, churches will take that one scripture and stop right there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they will give their invitation, open the doors of the church. Now, everybody that wants to believe on the name of the Lord, come and you shall be saved. There's a whole lot more to it than the 13th verse. The 13th verse is only the eye opener. It's the door opener. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's one thing about me that's beautiful. That's my feet. I don't care if they're big feet, little feet, broad feet, high in step, low in step, makes no difference. They're beautiful. Hallelujah. 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 But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody said, why preach? Why go to church? Why do this and why do that? It increases your faith. You know, you can just stay at home and pray, God, increase my faith. That's not the way to get your faith increased. You get your faith increased by coming and listening to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That's why the writer, through inspiration, included chapter 11 in Hebrews, is to give this great cloud of witnesses so that we can walk into the hall of faith and look at the names that is inscribed therein. And you'll find they subdued kingdoms. They did not let their surroundings and their circumstances wreck their faith in God. And we can look at them and say, thank God, if they lived an overcoming life and if they've done all these things, God will sure give me the same faith and the same power. Hallelujah. I have faith that God's going to give this church a revival like we've never had before. I'm still holding to that. I'm still believing that. Hallelujah. But I've tried to teach you and to preach to you that we'll never have it until everybody gets their acts together. There's got to be a coming together. Everybody's got to get in one mind and one accord. Everybody's got to love everybody. Everybody's got to pray. Everybody's got to get humble. Everybody's got to believe. Well, look at that one. They shouted tonight. I wonder what they shouted for. For the same reason you ought to shout. Amen. Well, I ain't through yet. Now, let's see. If it makes no difference what you believe, I'm going to give you a scripture. And you can go home and you can chew on this the rest of the day and forget about that roast that you've got pushed back on the stove that you're going to eat when you get home. I want to give you John chapter 8 and verse 24 now. So that you won't doubt what I'm saying, this is a red letter edition of the Bible. You see it? Red letters. A lady gave me this Bible. I've never seen that woman before in my life. And my last night in Jackson, Mississippi, this Bible is nearly 21 years old. She walked in that church from Cleveland, Ohio. I've never seen her in my life. And she said, I want to give you this Bible, and this has been my preaching Bible. I don't study out of this. This is my preaching Bible. But it is a red letter edition. I'm going to give you what Jesus said in red letters. Now, if you doubt this, you come up here after I'm through and I'll show it to you. Here it is in black and white. Black letters, red letters, and white paper. Here it is. Now, this is what Jesus said. I said, suppose that I would tell you this morning that I said yesterday so-and-so. That would mean that I said it, not today, but I said it prior to today. This is what Jesus said. I said, therefore, unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now, is that clear? Now, does it make any difference what you believe? I was amazed that one of the young men, Brother Ed Reed, he has a knack of listening to different preachers on the radio, and he gets a kick out of it. And when I drove up to Sunday school, he's sitting out in the car. And he said, I'm just listening to a preacher. He said that he explained where Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said what that meant was, the Father, which was God, had forsaken the Son. And then when he said, my God, the second time, that meant that God was the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost had forsaken the Son, Jesus. If these kids down these halls and these Sunday school classes didn't know any better than that, I'd honestly be ashamed of this church. It seems like anybody with any ounce of revelation about God can understand that there was one true and living God. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. It makes all the difference in the world what you believe. Now, that's what Jesus said, and I'm not going to take a thing from it. I'm going back to Isaiah. Now, I know that you didn't expect this, but when I got to studying this lesson, there's so many things that came to my mind, and I jotted down all that I could. And my time is almost gone like it is, but I want to turn and read to what the Scripture said. Turn to the Scriptures and see what the Scripture said. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Now, there's three things that is within my grasp right now. Number one, that I may know. Number two, that I may understand. Number three, that I may believe. I may know, I may believe, and I may understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed, for there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now who said this in Isaiah? The God of the Old Testament. Who said it in the New? Jesus. When He said it in the Old Testament, He was Spirit. When He said it in the New Testament, He was flesh. Now there's not two I am He's. Now if God said, I am He, beside me there is no God, then Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sin. What does that make Jesus? Makes Him God. Of course, sister, you're right. Makes Him God. It makes all the difference what you believe. And when you have the right kind of faith in God, you're going to believe what the Bible says. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. The very best I can, because we've got to believe something. Now, faith as trust and obedience. Now, let me tell you some more things from this text. Now, faith produces the fruit of loyalty, trust, and obedience. Now, there's three things you could spend an hour on. Faith produces the fruit of loyalty, trust, and obedience. Now, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but unto God that which belongs to Him. A person has to be loyal to God. This is not a game room. We're not playing games. We're not playing marbles in the backyard today. This is serious business I'm talking about. I talked to a man last night. They called me to the hospital. And he told me how he felt about me. They thought he was dying any minute. Very weak voice, he told me how he had admired me through the years. And he said, I only wish that I could reverse my life. I said, that can't be done. I said, you've got to go from here. They expected him to die any minute. But you know, after prayer, he's still alive today. Who knows but what God will open the door to that man and give him another opportunity. Let me tell all of you here today, if the Lord tarries, it won't be long until we all are going to face death. Had it not been for my wife yesterday, Sister Lyles would be dead today. She had surgery, and we went to see her yesterday. And Brother Lyles and Brother Milam had gone down to another floor to talk to the surgeon. They thought that Sister Lyles was doing fine. So I stayed in the room for a few minutes, and I said, well, I'll go down, and I'll see what the doctor has to say. But somehow, when I got down, I talked to the men a few minutes, and I said, I'm going back up to the room. I just felt like I should go back immediately. And I went back, and my wife was working with Sister Lyle. She told me, she said she was talking to me, that she told her a vision that she had while in Houston, that the Lord said, you'll be going home soon. And my wife said, back to Orange? Oh, no, heaven. And she just fell over. And my wife was working with her. She was as pale as any corpse that I've looked at in my life. And my wife said, get the nurse. And I ran out to the nurse station as three or four came in. That woman She was at the door of death, and we all believe from all indications that she really, for a second or two, maybe a little more, actually died. They called the doctor. He came, left, but they called him back. And this morning she had another spell exactly like she had yesterday. All of us, if the Lord tarries, we're going to face the same thing, and it won't be long. Listen, I feel a burden on my heart. I could get out on this carpet right now and weep my heart out to know that this church has such an opportunity to reach people and to pray and to seek God and to believe. We have a beautiful church, a beautiful location. We have a wonderful God. And we're missing out on so many things because so many people just don't believe that it's never going to happen. Oh, come on with me today. Come on with me. Faith in God. Faith in God will subdue kingdoms. Faith in God will break down that old stony heart and that will that man has built around them. Faith in God will tear down the walls of Jericho and bring them flat to the ground. You hear what I'm talking about? We are not a people that should be discouraged. I said we are not a people that should be discouraged. If you have faith, you'll be loyal. If you have faith, you'll have trust. If you have faith, you'll have obedience. When you have faith to obey instructions of the Word of God concerning repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's not hard to do. Somebody said it'd be too hard for me to live that kind of a life. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. The man that's having a hard time is a transgressor of God's law. The man that's happy and free is a man that's loyal to God. It's a person that's obeying God. It's a person that's got faith in the invisible and the unseen. That's a man that's happy and enjoying the blessings of God today. And I'm going to say something else. You might not like it, but I say so many things that folks don't like until I'm going to take another crack at it. Oh, I've got faith, but I don't intend to live up to what the church teaches. No, I don't care what the Bible teaches. I'm just not going to live up to it. Let me tell you something. When people have faith in their hearts, they are going to bow to the will of God. Living holy is not bad. It's profitable. You get great profit from it. God never did say, be as strong as I am. He never did say, be as wise as I am. But He did say, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said that. And if everybody was loyal and had confidence and had trust and had the spirit of obedience, you'd find that holiness is beautiful and it's not agony. It's not agony, it's beautiful. If you doubt that, you ought to read the 29th division of the Psalms. Holiness is beautiful. The beauty of holiness. Isn't it nice to be around clean people? Hallelujah. Sober people. That's not in the back alley somewhere wallowing in their own filth. Clean atmosphere. There's one thing, and you better never try it around me. Anybody that smokes cigarettes, if I get as close to that microphone stand, I can smell it. And it stinks! Now, his skull. See all these young people with a print of a snuff box in their jean pocket. It's so tight until it's got to make an imprint. Both girls and boys. I followed a lady in the post office not long ago, and she had on a pair of stretch pants. Friends, those pants had no alternative. It would just stretch her out. Let me tell you, it's no problem when you have faith in God to obey and to bow to the will of God. Holiness is not an agony. Holiness is beautiful in the sight of God. You see, that's faith. Oh, I know that you expected me to preach on Noah and Enoch and Abel and all of these that did these mighty things. I'm bringing it down to you and to me that we can do what God wants us to do. They did what God wanted them to do. Now by faith in the same God, we can do what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. I didn't get up here today just simply to repeat a lesson that you had studied altogether, but the Lord gave me some thoughts, and I wanted to bring these things to your mind, that we are not left alone. We can also be called heroes of faith. Hallelujah. Now, heroes of faith. The faith in their hearts was linked with their beliefs, resulting in the expression in acts of faith, as demonstrated by their trust, their loyalty, their courage. The end result was a good report from the Lord. Hallelujah. How did the elders obtain a good report? By faith. How did they walk? By faith. How do we walk? We walk by faith. We live by faith.